Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. RAT, right now. Here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. And it is, what is it? It's the 4th of February. It looks like we may have one server not working correctly, but one of them is, and it's archiving correctly, so the podcast will be up, the archive will be up, everything will be good. But we may have one, the 32K may be down, so you guys let me know. I'm going to bounce over here real quick and see who's in here, and find out if this is working. Minnie's joined us there now. Nan's joined us. Let's see a show of hands. Anybody listening on the 32K server? And we're waiting. You know what, Doc? That's a good point. I think what I'll do, for those of you not on the chat room, Doc says if a server isn't working well, you don't tip her. So I think what I'll do is contact Shoutcast. If that server's not working, we just won't pay our bill this month. Just paying bills every month for this, doing this show is getting to be a pain in the neck. So. All right, thank you, T-Bo, Yakima Glock, appreciate it. All right, lots of stuff going on. To start with here, I don't know if any of you were in the service between 2003 and 2015. There's a type of earplug that you may have seen commercials out there that's for the lawsuit that's happening. These are, they're made by, let me see here, we used to carry the company, but not the earplug, see. What the heck, it doesn't give the 3M was the main company. 3M made them, and I think, USCAV or somebody was distributing them. They look just exactly like the ones that we used to carry, that Jason and I, Amy carries them, carry in our pocket all the time. I got one in my pocket. I don't have one. I have a pair in my pocket right now. And the difference is the ones that I carried in the store and the ones that I still carry today were made by Peltor. I've talked about them before. They're yellow on one end, olive drab, you know, olive green on the other. And you put one end in if you're like outside and you're trying to maintain some protection, but you still need to hear a little bit. You put the other one in and they work like regular earplugs. Well, there's a copycat here and the military bought them. And they found out that they were too short. And a lot of people wound up with hearing damage because of these inferior earplugs. And just in case any of you listening were in the service that length of time and you're not aware of this, let me give you a little bit of information. Number one, like I said, you have to have been in the service between 2003 and 2015. That's when they started carrying them. We started carrying these earplugs, the originals, about 2003, maybe 2004. And we sold hundreds of them. Great earplugs. They're good for your everyday carry. And, like I said, I carry one in my pocket all the time. I have one on my turn signal switch in my truck. I have one attached to every backpack that I own. And, I think they're great earplugs. The next thing is, have you or a loved one ever used 3M's / Aero Technologies? Aero is spelled A-A-E-R-O Technologies. Yellow and green, dual-ended combat arms. Combat arms is the name I was trying to think of, whatever it was I said. Huh? So 3M is the company that made them. Combat Arms was the company that distributes them. Version 2. So if you've ever used these, then you're eligible. Do you or your loved ones suffer from or have you been diagnosed with hearing loss, partial or full, and or tinnitus, ringing of the ears? I so wish this would have happened when I was in, but I missed it by quite a few years, as a matter of fact. But anyway, so if you're one of those three things there, actually, if you're all three of those things, if you served during that time and were issued or used that particular earplug, and these were only available exclusively through the military. These are not some that you have, from what I understand, you can't buy them downtown, or you couldn't at the time anyway. Big lawsuit going on right now. But what happened is they were shorter than the real ones and more tapered, so they didn't seal well. And I'll give you a number if you think you're eligible for this. Here's a number for you to call. 800-959-7686. And there's actually even a little survey online that you can fill out and send in here. So there you go. I want to recommend another website here. It has absolutely zilch to do with what we were just talking about. But instead of buying an expensive ballistics program where you can type in a minimal amount of information and get detailed data as to what your bullets are doing, how fast they're going, what kind of drop you get, and how much the wind affects it, and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of them out there. There really is, and I'm not saying this is the best one. I'm saying I like this one the best. It's easy to use, really, really easy to use. Has an exceedingly wide variety of calibers to use, and of course, if the actual caliber that you use is not listed precisely by name, let's say, for example, you wanted to know what a 222 Remington Magnum is doing, and it's not listed in here. So, oh my! Well, how will I ever find out? Well, just use the 223, because the bullets are the same. All you got to do is know what your velocity is, what your bullet weight is, and everything else will be right. The ballistic coefficient, of course, but that would be the same whether it was 223 or whatever. So if you know those three or four little items there, it gives you, and it also gives you the ability to compare two bullets. It can be two bullets of the same weight, the same diameter, same caliber, or it can be something vastly different. If you're comparing energy of, say, a 45 caliber bullet in a 30 caliber bullet or whatever. So I really like this program. So if you're interested in this, write this down and go to gundata.org/ballistic-calculator. gundata.org/ballistic-calculator. And if you want a really, really embarrassingly simple, fast way to get good data for your hand loads, or to compare factory loads to your hand loads, or two different factory loads or whatever, this one will do it. And it does it really well. So thought I'd throw a little free ad out there for them. Since the World Series was on yesterday, and everybody talking about Tom somebody making however many baskets in his hockey match, I don't know what. Apparently that's not what, anyway, it was something like that. They say that the World Series yesterday suffered the very worst ratings in a decade. Well, that was what one of them said. Another source said it was the worst ever. Now, there was only like 2% difference in the 2009 numbers and this year's numbers. And I think the difference is the amount of population to compare it to, because this other one went to great pains to explain as to why this was the worst in the history of the Super Bowl, that they have never experienced ratings this low. So it's working. I mean, people are a lot of people sticking to their guns, and they're saying they're not going to watch it, and they're not going to support it, and they're not going to spend any money, and they don't. And I did watch long enough to see how bad they were going to screw up the national anthem, and that old gal did okay. She's not wild about that style, but it was all right. And I did very much enjoy the the joint service presentation of the colors and the posting of the colors or whatever. That was pretty good. And then that was the end of it. Turned it off and listened to music. But anyway, let's see what all is happening over here in the chat room. I got to check in there every once in a while. A&M Glocks finally joined us. I don't know where in the world you've been, but welcome anyway. The Tebow, you're saying that my gain is high. Let me check my numbers here. How about if I turn that down a little bit just like that? Is that better? Testing 1, 2. How about it there, Tebow Turtle? Does that sound better? Let me know. If it's not better, I'll do something else. Now that I'm 16 minutes into the show, I should have checked earlier. Let's see. Let me back up here a little bit. See, the 32 appears to be working. Okay. Mountain Shooter in 86 to 91. I was in, what was I in, 82 to 86. So that doesn't help me a bit. Yeah, A&M Glock, you're right. Good quote there. Give them bread and circuses and they'll never revolt. That's a fact. Okay. All right, let's get back over here and see what else we got for stories. We got lots of stuff. Oh, let me mention one thing to you. Part 2 of Lavoie Finicum, Dead Man Talking, is out and about and will be coming to Snowflake, Arizona on the 28th of February, starting at 7 o'clock. It'll be at the same place Part 1 was, a little place called Celebrations in Snowflake. So 7 days. They actually probably run from 7 to 9. The presentation will probably run a little bit long, and then there'll be some visiting and snacks and stuff going on afterwards. So, and the following morning there'll be a, I believe they called it an advanced civics class given by Mark Ayer, who is the chief cook and bottle washer at the Center for Self-Governance. And I've listened to Mark, more than once. He's a remarkable speaker, extremely knowledgeable, has done a great deal of good to help Jeanette in her struggle. And I really like him and his wife both, and they're, I wouldn't miss this for anything in the world. Trouble is, it's not free. It's a four-hour deal for couples. It is, it's $100. It's, like I said, it's 4 hours long. Youth, 17 and under, or maybe it's under 17, I don't remember. It's $40. And this is the kind of knowledge that we need. This is what we need to help take this country back. Because people are so ignorant of the Constitution and the protection that it gives us and everything that goes along with it. And people are just a total loss with that. So I would hope that you, if you're local, you try to partake of Mark's class. And I have every intention of being there. Let's see, what else we got? We got some another news stories here. We're not near break time yet. I just got to find the page that I was on. There it is. I think we talked about Lavoie's third anniversary on the anniversary of his death, actually, of his murder. I think we talked about that. Killed one day before his 55th birthday. So we won't go into that again. Let's see. I can't find the dang page I was on. There it is. That wasn't so hard, was it? Okay, here's something that... let me check the chat room out here before I get carried away. Yeah, that Golden Saber's a good bullet, A&M Glock. I've done a lot of testing with those. I like that. I carry them fairly regular. Matter of fact, I'm probably carrying them right now. It seems to perform very well. All right, let me find my other. There we go. Stand by 1 second. This is something that I warned everybody about a good while back. And some people may have heeded the warning, and a whole bunch of people didn't. And that is, don't give your DNA to these online home testing kits so you can find out that you were related to Elvis Presley, you know, second cousin three times removed with your ex-wife's brother-in-law's sister or whatever. You can find out everything through this through these things. Well, as of like most Ricky Tick here 3 days ago, the FBI has gained access to one of those. If they got one, there's no question in my mind that the others will be falling down right behind them. And let's see, this one was Family Tree. There's an agreement between the FBI and Family Tree DNA. Sees the company work on a case-by-case basis. So far, fewer than 10 cases have required access to the database. For users, there's kits available to purchase it to find out paternal, family, and maternal ancestry, and it's all possible to upload existing data for free, and then blah, blah, blah. And people jump all over this, think it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, in a manner of speaking, it kind of is a wonderful thing for some people. For others, it means nothing. It means you give your DNA to somebody for nothing. And, of course, the most popular thing that people say about this, everybody says this, it's not just a handful, is that, well, I haven't done anything wrong, why does it matter? You know, it's just like the breathalyzer test. If you're not drunk, then what? Because you need a warrant. My DNA is my DNA. It belongs to me. And it can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is mine. And unless you have a warrant, I don't just give you my DNA. And it doesn't matter what they're going to use it for. It doesn't matter if they need it or if I've done anything or if I'm related to Lee Harvey Oswald. It doesn't make any difference. What matters is it's mine. And I did not give you permission to have it. Whatever could possibly go wrong, I'm sure that the FBI will figure out a way to make it go wrong. So I am vehemently opposed to this, even though it would be interesting to do. I'm very much opposed to it. Believe it or not, for those of you that long-time listeners, you may find it hard to believe that tonight I am drinking water. For what reason, I have no idea, but I am. All right, let's see here. Let's jump on it. Oh! Let's see, which one would be good here? Let's take this one here. No, let's don't. Let's take this one. Having a hard time keeping things in order here tonight. There it is. All right. I thought the title of this was funny as all get out. Undercover police posing as drug buyers. Arrested by undercover police posing as drug dealer. Interesting. It's an old story. I just happened to run across it when I was looking for some other stuff. And in a nutshell, big mistake led to only the police arresting each other after they screwed this up. And nobody was hurt, not seriously anyway. And I think that would have been the most hilarious thing to watch. In the headline here, it's not in the headline, but in the, you know, farther on down, it says, incident was likened to the Keystone Cops. It was said that the whole incident turned out to be something like you would see in the Keystone Cops silent films. Now the event has sparked an investigation. Well, I'd like to see how that turns out. During the 80s, an incident occurred that saw two police officers killed in this same type of deal here. So let me say one word here, and maybe it will help next time you guys do this. One thing probably helped more than anything else. Communication. Communication is a wonderful thing. You should check it out sometime. Give it a try. I think that would probably make about as much, do about as much to help you as anything. Alright. Well, I think I'm gonna, take a little break here. Let's see. I think we'll just throw this one out there. I like this song. I'll be back in a minute. Stay with me.
I'll be back.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Now mama couldn't see him, oh, but he was standing there. And I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayers. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, that someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places to grace us with their mercy in our time of need. From somewhere up above, they come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love, to guide us with the light of love.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
And we're back. Let me check and see if anybody came back with me here. Let's see if I'm talking to myself again. Alright. Hey, Rolex just joined us. Good to see you, brother. Haven't seen you for quite a while. Copper's back in there, too. Same to you. Very good. All right. I was going to go into another subject here, but I remembered this one real quick. In Yakima, Washington, Yakima Glock probably knows about this. I don't think we mentioned this, but I'm just going to mention it briefly because it doesn't require a whole big long stuff here. But there's a little church in Yakima that made it very clear that if you have come to deliver any harm of any kind to any of their congregation, that you are likely to be shot and killed. It doesn't say exactly that, but that's kind of the gist of it. The sign on the front door, I got a picture of it here, big letters, very clearly says, "Welcome to Yakima Bible Baptist Church." This is private property. Warning. Please know that this is not a gun-free zone. We are heavily armed. Any attempt will be dealt with deadly force. Yes, we are a church and we will protect our people, pastors. I may have read that before, but I thought I'd throw it in there. This is something that, again, here I am speaking of churches and pastors, and I'm preaching to the choir again. But, you know, these churches need to understand. My biggest thing here, you know, the churchgoers a lot of times say, well, you know, this is the one place that we should have to be, that we can be safe and be free of guns and free of bad guys, and we should be able to come here and worship and not worry about being killed. Well, in a perfect world, maybe that would work. But the very people that claim that they believe in God here are not believing, not understanding that the bad guys are given what's called their free agency, their ability and their willingness to make up their own mind, to do whatever they want, just as we are. That free agency of theirs doesn't always mean, or ours as far as that goes, doesn't always mean that we're going to make the right choice and do the right thing. If that was the case, there would be no point in us being on this earth. People have to make their own choices and pass their own test and do their own thing to see where or if they're going to go to heaven. And you can't just... the whole purpose for us being here is to test us and see how we're going to do during this short, finite period of time on this earth, in this body. And that will determine a lot of things for us when we leave here. And yes, we should be safe in our church. Yes, the bad guy has the opportunity to make his choices to do whatever, wherever, to whomever. And so I will exercise my free agency and carry to church. Just in case he exercises his free agency and comes in to attack people in my church. So that's how that works. And there's no two ways about it. It's not negotiable. So, you guys do with it what you want. That's right. Doc says we're instructed to turn the other cheek. Doesn't say anything about shooting him. So, yeah, we can turn the other cheek, but when you do, You know, you may have to shoot him first so you turn the other cheek. You won't lose sight of him. All right. The last week we talked a couple of different times about the frequency of events that's happening around this country right now. And it just keeps getting more frequent and more frequent. And that is the fact that there are going to be multiple attackers during these home invasions and stuff. People are shooting 3 and 4 people at a time. And getting away with it. I shouldn't say getting away with it. That's an improper term. It's not that they're getting away with it at all. They're perfectly justified in what they're doing. But what the deal is here is there's just getting to be more of them. Here's one in Houston. Well, let me do this one first. There was one, a Family Dollar here in DeKalb County, Georgia, where the robber came in, tried to rob this Family Dollar, and he just ignored one customer and didn't pay attention to him, and the guy, the robber pulled out a gun, stuck it up to the clerk's head, and customer said, okay, well, he shot him and killed him. Sorry about that. Four or five other customers in the store at a time. So I would have liked to have seen exactly how this played out to see if see what kind of precautions the Good Samaritan took there to not hit bystanders. See where, well, I just like, just for my own curiosity, you know, just to add to my little book of trivial stuff, see what happened there. But this is a good one here. Stand by. Let me get the right page up here. As fast as you can be accurate and keep things moving. The tinker just said both streams were down. So I'm just going to keep talking here. And if it comes up, fine. If it don't, well, I guess that's okay, too. It'll be in the podcast. I'll get the podcast up. I'll get the podcast up tonight so you don't miss anything. So let me get back where I was at. We were talking about Jeff Cooper's book, Principles of Personal Defense, and the 7 keys of to survival in self-defense situations. And that was alertness, situational awareness, decisiveness, make up your mind, stick with it, don't hesitate, aggressiveness. Once you decide you're going to shoot, even if you're not going to shoot, be aggressive. Don't dilly-dally around. Speed out of the holster. Speed digging your AK-47 out from under the couch. Speed in reloading. Speed in moving. Speed in everything that you do. Fast enough, or not so fast that you're not able to perform, but as fast as you can and still maintain control of everything. Coolness, be cool. I think that kind of goes with decisiveness. And he adds ruthlessness in there. And this is a tough one, and this is something that you run into with many self-defense shootings. And that is, it's hard for some of us that are really not cut out that way to be ruthless. You know, the things they say, the things they do, the sounds they make, all of these things could be something that could dissuade you from using the amount of force that you need to use. But you need to be ruthless. We're trying to win the gunfight. We're not trying to win hearts and minds. We're trying to win the gunfight. The last one of these elements is surprise. So in this gunfight in Houston, they say the defender demonstrated all 6, or demonstrated 6 of the 7. He may have faulted about being sufficiently alert, but because at first he thought it was a joke. And this is something that people run into, or that you know, law enforcement investigators run into pretty frequently. And that's the fact that someone has attacked, or is about to attack, or is claimed that they say they're going to attack, and somebody says, well, this, what have I done to this person? Why am I being attacked? This can't be for real. And it takes a minute to process all this information. I have cautioned people against this. Be alert enough to know that you can see the way they carry themselves, the sound of their voice, maybe they're sweating, maybe there's, you know, any little telltale signs that they are very serious. If they have a gun, if they apparently have a weapon of any kind, a shovel handle, you know, or a pool stick, it doesn't make any difference. If they have a weapon and they've indicated that they're going to use it, then you don't have time to make that decision as to, well, I wonder if he's kidding. Am I going to get sued if I do this? Am I going to jail? I'll tell you one thing that has to happen before you can be sued or go to jail, and this is true in all 100% of the cases. You have to be alive to be able to do that. If you are not still alive when the cops get there, I can promise you that you will not be sued and you will not go to jail. So if you want any opportunity to possibly visit the inside of your town's finest facilities there, you need to stay alive until the cops get there. And that may require being ruthless and making sure that you shoot them till they're down. You don't shoot and say, well, do you give up? Is that enough? No, you've got to shoot him to the ground. It's whatever it takes. And if he's still holding his weapon and conscious when he gets to the ground, you just shoot him some more. If he goes down and drops his gun and can't reach it anymore, then maybe you have a decision to make there. But whatever it is, you got to shoot him to the ground. What's NM Glock saying here? We were at a conference one time sitting around libations one evening. John Snyder posted the question, how do we as Americans train for violence? And, you know, most of us don't. That's the problem. That's the big deal right there. People go and take their little token CCW clown. I don't know how many thousand times I've said this on this show. But they go and take their little class, and they're standing on the level range with the sun shining, the birds singing, and they have this very strict little regimen of things that they got to do, it's probably better than nothing. I'm certain it's better than nothing, but does it really prepare you for dealing with violence? Does it prepare you for issuing violence? Does it prepare you to be ruthless? There's some things you have to work on a little bit on your own. You need to work on your alertness. You know, if your alertness is at the proper level, then maybe, just maybe, you won't have to use any of the rest of those things. You may could have avoided this. I don't know what happened at the little place in Houston there with the 20-year-old kid, but how did they get in? Did they bust the door down? They shoot the lock off, shoot the doorknob off, or what happened? They kick it in. How did they get in and get the jump on him to start with? Yeah, maybe the door wasn't locked, maybe whatever. But the point is, why that's part of what I was getting at is the awareness there. If he would have been properly aware, all the doors, now if they kick the door down, that's a whole different story. All bets are off. But if he left it unlocked, left it open for a minute, you know, to do this, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know what was going on there exactly, but, anyway, that's all these things kind of work hand in hand together there. Let me go over here and see. I don't know if our sound ever came back. I'm assuming that it may have. I don't know. Let's see. I guess so. Copper's answering me there. So, sound's back. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to it there. But, yeah, Mountain Shooter, sorry. You're actually not qualified. You're not quite in, Doc Holliday's class. Not quite at that level yet after your little token CCW class. A lot of people think they are, but they go and take a one-day class from Frontside or from wherever, and all of a sudden they are, you know, highly skilled operators and ready for anything in the world. So, if you're going to be prepared, or as prepared as you can for something like that, number one, your training does never stop. Some of it may include practice instead of training. It's a little bit different. With training, you're learning new stuff, and you're doing, how do I put it? Well, I guess once you learn it and you continue to do this, yes, I guess technically you're still training, but you're practicing what you've been trained to do at some point. And then, not only does it not ever stop, it needs to include a number of different things, you know. Shooting while moving, shooting while your target's moving, shooting while you and your target's moving, shooting while you're, you know, going up or down a staircase, even if it's just simulated, it helps. You know, force on force training, a little bit of hand to hand. What happens if your gun malfunctions? What happens if he takes your gun away from you? Wait, stop, time out right there. I cannot do this without my gun. Now, give me my gun back so we can continue to do this my way. That's not how it works. So there's a lot of things to go with it here. And proper equipment, proper ammunition, proper holsters, proper sights. Sights may or may not be a big deal depending on, you know, what's going on, how far away they are, and what the light conditions are. But a whole bunch of different things, whole bunch of different. Can you shoot just as well with your support hand as you can with your strong hand or your firing hand? Do you shoot as well? Can you reload and everything else left-handed if you're a right-hander and vice versa? That is a very important thing. How well do you do one-handed? Can you pick up a kid or guide an elderly person from the house and still keep up the fight? This is all stuff that they don't even talk about in CCW classes. Well, I do, but I know most people don't. Most people go and they teach you the three little NRA safety rules and all the laws that you're not supposed to break and how bad you're going to get sued. And all that, and if they shoot, you stand out there 3 yards away from a target and shoot a full-size piece of paper half a dozen times, and you're in like Flint. If you can do all that, you're a gunfighter. You can get your paladin hat at the door on the way out. That's just the way it works. All right, well, such as it is, we'll, continue. I have a couple of different things next week, Wednesday, that kind of go along with this that we're going to talk about and spend some time on. About what? Oh, yeah. It might be a good idea for you. I would recommend that you guys make every effort to listen to the State of the Union address tomorrow night. 7 o'clock, I think, Eastern. I'm not sure. Look it up. Everybody here knows how to use Google, so I don't have to tell you. But I would take it as a personal favor if you listen to the State of the Union address and kind of pay attention to what's going on, see what the atmosphere is around there. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting show, and we are definitely going to watch it. Okay, well, with all that being said, I think we're going to ease on towards the door. and I'll be back Wednesday night. And I appreciate the heck out of you guys joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.